Hey friends, this is Boss Barista. I'm Ashley Rodriguez.
So, yeah, my name is Carolina Ibarra Garay. I recently just won the AeroPress World Championship. And I'm a barista, a coffee manager, and just in general, a person who works with coffee a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you glossed over that one really quickly, but if you don't know, and you should know, Carolina is the world AeroPress champion. She just won, last week, a couple weeks ago, right?
That was 1 week ago, literally.
Oh man, so you must still be like floating on a cloud right now, right?
I am still. It's been a really crazy adventure, journey, however you want to call it. So I am still like trying to understand the importance of what's happening right now to me.
So you're based in Los Angeles right now, but you're originally from Colombia. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into coffee?
Absolutely. Yeah. As you said, I am originally from Colombia. I just moved to LA 5 years ago, but I grew up and I was raised in Colombia in a very, very small town that is called Quimbaya. It's a very little town. I don't know exactly right now what the population number is, but it's a very small town that you can actually like go from like, you can see the whole town like in maybe less than an hour by walking. So it's a very small place, and it's actually part of something that we call the Coffee Triangle. There are like different departments, which it will be kind of like states for you guys here, like California for us the Quindío. But anyway, it's part of the Coffee Triangle, which means like parts of the country that grow coffee, you know, and where like it's always been recognized for being coffee growing areas. So I grew up with a lot of it. Family and friends that have families that basically, you know, like the primary income was coffee. I always had it like around. But it was something that I rejected for a long time, just because, like, you know, it's like you just grow up with it and you don't want to be a part of it. I think I always, you know, it's funny because like I feel like I grew up feeling like I always wanted to get out of there and just like feeling like I didn't belong in certain way, you know, in certain ways. It's a very small town, and I was, you know, kind of like a rebel type of girl. I wanted to listen to different music. I wanted to dress up differently. I wanted to put like crazy makeup on my face and do weird things. And I never felt like I belonged to there. So coffee was a part of that place, and I didn't want to do anything related with coffee. So I pursued different careers. I went for many different things. I also graduated from like high school very, very young, I think. You know, like it works different for us with school. Like I graduated when I was 16 years old. So it was like it feels like at that time you don't really know what you want to do with your life. So I started studying law. I went to law school and I did a little bit of that, and then I didn't want to do it, and then I told my mom that I didn't want to do it, so I changed my career and I say I wanted to be a veterinarian. So I entered veterinary school, and then like I quit again, and then I was like, all right, well, what am I going to do now? So I started design, and I went first for like fashion, and then I kind of like changed it in between to graphic design. And it was a lot of confusion, just kind of like growing up and not knowing exactly what I wanted to do. I graduated. I worked in advertising for a year, but I was not exactly the best one, you know. It's hard because the advertising world is very different. It's also a lot of men, and it's kind of like It like what you see in Mad Men, and in Mad Men, it's exactly like that. So it felt very strange, and then I just decided I didn't want to do it, and then I moved to LA, and it was a very confusing time for me. I didn't move with a lot of money, and I mean my mom at that moment was very tired of me just like quitting and quitting and quitting things. So she's like, well, you have to do this by yourself, which I am grateful for, because it taught me, you know, like things that I never learned before, like not having money, not, you know, kind of like, yeah, just these things that you're not used to when your parents are always paying for you. So I moved here, and it was very crazy. There was no money. There was I was very confused about what I wanted to do. And somehow I just kind of like started going to coffee shops to just like sit and use the Wi-Fi and look at Craigslist and see what, you know, what could I do, like, you know, just looking for a job and something. I kind of like made a resume for like sending it to, you know, I went to bars and restaurants, but none of that was actually like popping up. There was nothing happening. And then I was very lost for a while doing whatever came. I worked as a host for like you know, social events and parties. It was strange. I never felt like I felt very disoriented, I think. And I don't know, honestly, coffee, it was weird. Like one time I remember walking in Venice, and I went into this coffee shop, and I just drank coffee because I didn't even like coffee either. You know, I resented coffee so much for some reason that I was just like very grossed out of the thought of like the coffee taste. But after moving to LA, it kind of like, I always found myself sitting in a table in a coffee shop looking for a job. And what was there was a coffee, you know, a cup of coffee. And it just kind of like kept me going in like, you know, like whatever I was trying to do. So I started finding it interesting and just like liking it and somehow needing it. But like during my entire like high school or like college years and all the things that I did, I never drank coffee. Not even when I had to like, you know, work in like, you know, homework, and you know, I never even like the thought of coffee never was there. So yeah, I don't know, one time, yeah, sorry, I'm talking a lot.
no, you're talking the exact amount because people want to hear from you. But yeah, so like when was that moment that changed for you?
I don't know, I feel like I was, you know, like it just kind of happened gradually when, like, you know, I just found, like I say, I found myself alone in a city where I didn't know anyone and just feeling absolutely lost and lonely. And the one thing that was there was, you know, I don't know, the cup of coffee next to me on a coffee shop, you know? So I was like, wait, you know, like, wait a second. Like, I feel kind of like connected to this. This is bringing like a lot of feelings to me. And then, that I started just like observing like the flow of coffee shops, and I'm like, wait, you know, like this is something that I like, and maybe I would like to learn a little bit about this. It was just scary because I was like, well, if I try one more thing and then I fail at it, like what am I going to do? So yeah, I started dating the person that I'm still with. It's my partner. And then one time he just kind of like threw at me like a comment. He's like, well, you know, you're from Colombia. Like, you know, you guys are supposed to like coffee. Like, why don't you just have a coffee shop? And then I was like, maybe this is what I'm meant to do. I don't know. And then after that, I just somehow felt very connected with what I wanted to do. And I say like, well, you know, I'm going to try this. And if it works, works. If it doesn't work, doesn't work. I'll see just what happens. And that I travel back to Colombia to visit my mom. But at the same time, I schedule a bunch of like classes and courses, you know, like things related with coffee. I schedule Amor Perfecto, which are these guys that are very huge right now in the coffee industry in Colombia. I scheduled some classes with them and I went there and I spent time and I, you know, just like trying different things. And it all started making a lot of sense to me. And it became sort of like a fascinating, I don't know, hobby, you know? I was like, at least if I am never going to work with coffee, at least it's something that I am enjoying and it feels fun, because I didn't have like strong hobbies or, you know, it was sort of like, yeah, like I didn't even know what I wanted in my life. So, yeah, after I traveled to Colombia, I also spent some time at my friend's, they had just recently opened a coffee shop. They're also coffee growers, like their family. So they had just opened a coffee shop. And I was like, well, this is a great example of like maybe what I can do in LA. So so I kind of like stayed with them for a little bit. And they showed me a little bit about how to pull espresso and how to make pour overs and things very related with coffee. I went back to the farms and my families and just kind of like connected with it and understood a little bit of the process and came back here to LA and say, all right, well, you know, maybe I can just get a barista job, but no place wanted someone with no experience. So it was a little hard, but I just, you know, I made my way into it. I think I got a job at a very, you know, like a small coffee shop that was very, very far away from where I lived. And they hired me and I somehow, I don't know, I started being good at it. And then little by little, I think it's like, you know, when you're driven by passion, I think, you know, like it really works. I feel like for a moment in my life, I thought that, you know, maybe, you know, all that pep talk about passion and like, you know, loving what you do and blah, blah, blah. I was like, maybe that thing is not real. Maybe I can just find a job and just, you know, a job that pays for my bills. And I don't know, I'll find out something else to do with like my passions, maybe something different, something that doesn't necessarily have to be my profession. But now that I am in this, in that I see the results of what I'm doing, I feel like passion is very, very necessary when, you know, when you are like in your career, in your profession, you have to have it, because it's what's, you know, it's going to drive you to succeed and make you feel happy and fulfilled and complete, you know? So yeah, I don't know. I just like little by little, you know, started learning more and more and more and more, and I wanted to be very involved with it. And everybody who wanted to talk about coffee with me, I was just happy to hear and learn and understand. And I started getting different positions as a lead barista, and it was just amazing. And you know, little by little, I just kind of like grew into the industry, and some people started like recognizing me, just, you know, like in the coffee industry, friends that I started making. And then I got my job a year and a half ago as a coffee manager with Café de Leche. And that's been also like a crazy experience of, you know, of what means to be in charge of, you know, a shop, people, everything.
It's pretty incredible that you won this championship kind of, like, without being like part of this like big company or having like a ton of like
support.
Yeah. Cause you know, you see people go to like the World Barista Championships or anything like that. And you know, they have like a big
campaign,
like powerhouse behind them. Yeah. They have a company. Exactly. So I'm wondering if you could talk to us about how you decided to compete and like what drove you.
Absolutely.
You actually, yeah. Because you only did your first AeroPress competition like pretty recently, right?
Yeah, my first AeroPress competition was in June this year. And I went for the first time in my life to the Coffee Expo in Seattle. And I got to see some of the competitions. Like I got to see the barista competition and some of the, I think it was a little bit of the Brewers Cup. I don't remember exactly what was it, but I just found myself, you know, I was fascinated about the way the baristas were delivering a message, you know, about coffee. And it was all like, you know, like American people. And I was just like, maybe, you know, like I can do something like this, and I can talk with a lot of like sense of, you know, because I belong to where coffee grows, you know, like, so I grew up with it. I grew up seeing things that made me feel very connected now. So I was like, maybe if I start like, you know, a path into competitions, I, you know, maybe I can be good at it. I don't know. And the thought of it just came in April when I went to the coffee expo, and I was like, well, maybe I'm just going to pursue to start, you know, competing on something. That was a lot of like you know, back here in LA, there's a lot of like latte art throwdowns, but not that I don't like latte art. It's just that I find myself more interested in like very purist ways to brew coffee, you know? So I was just like, well, maybe latte art is not what I want. And then I have a friend, he is a roaster here. He has his own like little company. It's really great roaster. His name is Adam Strauss. And then he was like, hey, you know, Coffee Commissary is hosting the AeroPress competition to pick, you know, their regional, the LA champion. And I'm like, oh, really? Well, you know, maybe I'll join. But that was like, I don't know, he just said that. And I'm like, yeah, I'll join it. And I talk about it like for 2 months. And I get, you know, like I love AeroPress, and I always liked it, and I always tried to, but I always made it for myself, you know, like it was nothing that I wanted to share with anyone else, just because I am very like, I criticize pretty hard my own work. So I was just like, I don't want to be judged by anybody. So I was like, yeah, maybe I'll do it, until the time was there. And then my friend is like, hey, remember that I told you about the AeroPress competition for the LA, you know, for the regionals? And I'm like, oh yeah. And he's like, are you gonna be there? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do it. And then I jumped into it. I was extremely nervous. Like, it was insane. Well, I am always very nervous. So, but this day I was just like, this is my first time, and what am I going to do? I didn't even know how it worked. I didn't know that you actually don't have to have a speech, but I made a speech because I didn't understand how it worked. So I thought that I had to talk about the coffee, and like, I knew the coffee very well because my friend was providing the coffee for the competition. So I've worked with his coffee before. So I was just like making a whole speech about it and how I was going to talk about my brewing method and blah, blah, blah. And then I went there and it was all like a party, right? It's like, ah, you know, the MCs, it was fun. And like, and then it's like, no, you don't have to talk. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, sort of disappointing, but at the same time, it felt good that I didn't have to talk. But I participated and I passed first round, and I was like, wow, this is insane, and very, very exciting for me. And then, in second round, I got eliminated by the girl who actually won the regional, I mean, the LA championship. So her name is Kim. She works for the LA Coffee Club. They're really good people doing a lot of good things with the coffee industry here in LA. So I was happy, you know, I was happy that the person that beat me was the actual girl that won for the regional. And that it was a girl. I was very excited about that too. And I was just happy that I made myself go to the thing and be there. And it's hard. It's very, very hard. It's because it's kind of like an ego crusher, right? Mm-hmm. Like, once you lose, it's like, yeah, it feels, but it's good to have your ego crushed sometimes. So I was like, this is fun. This was very exciting. And I thought that was it, right? Like, I was like, well, I'm just going to try it later on something else. And I traveled to Colombia to see my family and a little bit of coffee research that I did. So I went there, and then the 2 days before I traveled back, Tectonic, also roasters from here, from LA, they sent a newsletter to everybody who was like subscribed to their newsletter. That I don't even remember when did I subscribe. So it was like, oh, you know, the AeroPress, the nationals are happening in LA, and there is some spots for like competitors to, you know, to like wild cards, I guess. I don't know how to call that, but I was like, what? So like, I can still like compete. And then I told my boss, Matt, and I'm like, should I compete on this again? And he's like, oh, I'll sign you up. And then he signed me up. Like, there was one spot left, one spot that I, for some reason, opened my email at the right moment. And then I told my boss and he signed me in. And then I was already like, oh, yeah, you're already there. And, you know, like, yeah, you're going to compete for the nationals. And I don't know, that day had a really, you know, like I didn't have a lot of time to practice because you said it before, I am a cafe manager. So I have a lot of work. It's a small business. So, you know, a lot of things kind of like rely on me. And it is a small team and there are 16 employees that I have to take care of. So it's a lot. So there was not a lot of time to practice. However, I kind of like did what I call at night, at home, you know, with the equipment that I had and just kind of like practice a little bit. And then the day of the nationals, I practice a little bit more with the practice beans that they gave me. And then I tried to give it to my boss and he was on his way out and he's like, I'm sorry, I can't stay. And I'm like, all right, well, I don't know. I guess I don't know what this tastes like. You know, I'll just see what. I wasn't like fully happy with it, but I was like, you know, it is what it is. So then I went to the nationals and we had like an hour to practice and we got, I mean, with same beans, but a different roast date. So I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe with these, I'm going to get something that I actually like. And I, you know, practiced the whole hour and, you know, what I was getting, it was good. And I wasn't fully, you know, I wasn't fully sure that, you know, that it was going to be good for the judges. However, I just did it. And I kept hearing my name being called and, you know, passing all the rounds and beating all these people like that won the regional championship. And it was very insane. And there was this moment when I went like on the public, you know, where the public were, and I was waiting for my round to happen. And then this, like, I don't listen a lot of reggaeton, but there was a reggaeton song that played. It's called My People. And then, I mean, Mi Gente in Espanol. And then it say My People. And I listened to that song. And in my head, I was just like, I'm going to the finals now, like the finals for the U.S. I think I'm going to win this, you know, like it will mean a lot for me to win these because I am an immigrant and certainly disagreeing with a lot of our current politics. And then, so I was like, I think I'm going to win this. And then I went on the finals and I won my U.S., you know, I won the U.S. championship. And then Sydney happened. And yeah, it still feels very surreal, the whole experience.
How did you think about preparing then? Because you mentioned that you didn't get to prepare as much as you maybe would have liked to, but it seems like you also were able to make that work for you. So like, what did you have to do to adjust that? Like, did you practice maybe differently than other people or how did you really focus? And
I think, yeah, I certainly wish that I had more time to practice. This is one thing that I'm actually going to mention here. I feel like now that I know my experience and I hope to encourage other baristas to compete because it's a great experience. I think for, you know, business, you know, for business owners, for coffee business owners and for managers and all that, we certainly should always motivate and encourage and support people who wants to compete, because it means a lot, you know. So I feel like that's probably my job now, to always encourage in others' competitions and be there and support them and coach them. And that's a big part of it. I didn't have a lot of time for that. However, there was also, you know, like, we didn't have practice beans for the world championship. They didn't send practice beans because, you know, in past competitions, some people would not receive the beans, you know, like they will go missing because they are sending all over the world, right? So some people will have the opportunity to practice, but some others wouldn't. So it was a little bit unfair. So that's why they didn't actually send practice beans. So knowing that, and knowing that the coffee was going to be revealed on the same day of the competition, I knew that no matter how many times I would practice my routine, I still had to do changes, you know? So my practice, and like the times that I had to practice here at home at night, I basically, my own, like, my focus was to be super consistent with whatever I was doing, meaning like the time had to be very precise, you know, the amount of water, the, you know, like be super precise with my measures and like just trying to keep that, you know, and like also very organized with my area, with my, you know, my workstation, because that's a huge part for me. So I was just like, that's the way I kept my routine, you know, just kind of like repeating and repeating what I was doing and making it as consistent as possible. And I knew that by doing that, even though I didn't know the coffee yet that we were going to use, I knew that at least I was going to be able to deliver the same cup of coffee all the time, you know. So, which is probably what helped me to, you know, to stay in the competition until the end. So so basically that was just my practice, you know, just like consistency, always doing the same, being very like, you know, brewing my cup of coffee always within the same time, which it was 2.5 minutes. So that was what I focused on. And then when we got to Sydney, and on the day of the competition, when the coffee was revealed and we copped it, I knew there, like, I'm not very familiar with Kenya coffee. It's certainly it's not something that I actually work a lot with. So, but funnily, the 2 days before the competition that I was like visiting Sydney and going into cafes and stuff, I tried a lot of Kenyan coffee, but I guess because I was very curious about Kenyan coffee, because I, you know, I haven't had the opportunity to try a lot. So my 2 days before, I was just like trying all the Kenyans that were available in different coffee shops. So I was just like, wow, this is like, you know, tropical fruits. And like, I was like, lots of acidity. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. You know, Kenya is amazing. And then when we got to the competition, they revealed the coffee and it was a Kenya coffee. So that sort of worked out very well. So after we copped the coffee, I was like, well, you know, I think I know what I need to do. You know, this is what this coffee tastes like. Very, you know, acidic, lots of like, you know, citrus notes. And then, but at the same time, sort of buttery at the end. And I was like, yeah, I think I know what to do. So once we started practicing, the only thing that I actually played with was with the grind set. Mm-hmm. I brew different cups of coffee at different grind sets and just like try to compare everything. My boyfriend was the only person there, and he is a huge coffee enthusiast, but he's not like, you know, he's not on it every day. You know, he's not part of the coffee industry or anything. He loves coffee. He always goes trying with me, but that was it. But I was like, well, you know, your task right now is to tell me that this tastes okay. And he's like, well, I don't know, you know, like, why, you can trust me. Like, I like coffee, but I don't know about it. I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, I trust your opinion, and this is all we have. You know, like, I'm not going to give my cup of coffee to anyone else here in this room, because that makes me really nervous. I don't want anybody to give me their opinion and be like, this tastes horrible. So So I was just like, he's like, okay. And then, you know, I started brewing. I made like 5 different cups of coffee with different grind sets. And we kind of like picked the one thing that we like. I repeated the same and I stopped. 6 cups of coffee after I stopped. So that took me like an hour, and we had 4 hours to practice. And I was like, that's it. I like this. I repeat it twice and it worked. It tastes good. And I'm not going to do anything else. Like, I'm just going to relax right now because I was very stressed out. I kept seeing everybody just like trying and trying and trying and brewing and brewing, brewing for the 4 hours that we were practicing. And I'm like, Jesus, I don't know. I think, you know, like, I don't think I, you know, like, I don't know if I should practice more. But, you know, at some point, it's like you can only taste so much, right? So, like, I was like, if I just keep trying, then, like, you know, I don't know, my taste buds are just not going to taste, you know, it's not going to be the same. So I was like, no, I'll just keep it like this. I'm not practicing anymore. So I just kept, like, you know, I was, like, listening to music. There was a moment where I step away, and I sat to meditate, like, listening to, like, a YouTube meditation thing. And I'm just, like, there, very, very nervous. And then other people was coming to me, like, can you try this? And I'm trying it. But, I didn't want to give them, like, a bad opinion or, you know, just, like, few feedback. And then, like, 1 hour before the competition start, I'm like, okay, I'm going to brew it again. So I did 2 cups, tasted exactly the same to me, tasted exactly the same to my boyfriend. So I'm like, this is it. That's it. You know, like, this is all we're doing.
That's incredible. That's incredible that you, well, it just shows, like, to me that, like, well, number one, you're a very intuitive person, it seems. It seems like you're someone who, like, decides on something, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this.
Yes.
But like, you know, even looking at like your past, it also seems like you're also not afraid to be like, okay, this didn't work. Like, let's do something else. Like,
yeah,
you don't get like you don't get hurt by like, oh, that didn't work. Like, why didn't that work? You know?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think it works that way. Honestly, I understand that people, like, you know, like, some people, like, are like, well, the water doesn't taste good. These beans are not good. Some people are criticizing the coffee. And, like, honestly, with coffee, of course, I mean, we got good coffee, you know. There's no doubt that it was good coffee. It, you know, for some, might not be the best, but there is a lot of good things that you can do with that coffee. So I was just like, it's everything on you. Like, there's no need to blame the water or the grinder or the nothing, you know. It's all you. You can make that cup of coffee taste good. So I trust a lot, you know, like, what my boyfriend was telling me. I trust what I was, I mean, at the end, it's all I have, you know, myself and my taste buds, and that's it. You know, I didn't have anything else. I didn't have a, you know, like, a team helping me, tasting and telling me what to do. And, like, so that, you know, I just had to work with what I had. And I didn't have, like, crazy equipment. I didn't have, like, a crew to, like, sift the fines of the coffee. I didn't have anything, you know. It was very, like, you know, I just had my AeroPress and, you know, a glass server, and that's all I had. So, yeah, you know, that's it.
What does this mean for you now? Now that you have this title, like, what do you think the next year of your life is going to look like? That's a big question.
It's a lot. I was trying to just, like, be like, well, you know, it's you know, it's the AeroPress competition. It's like the most kind of like party like competition, and, you know, it's not like being at Brewers Cup, but at the same time, I won the world title, you know, so it is big. And I feel like other women in coffee industry have been like trying to make me understand that this is a huge thing. And certainly I met a lot of people from the coffee industry. And I, like, at the Golden Bean, I met Sean Edwards, which is a guy that is huge in the coffee industry. I mean, he has Coffee Culture in other companies, but, you know, that he's big on it. And he expressed his desire to work with me and, you know, do things and, you know, just, like, I don't know, somehow represent their brands as well. So I know there is a lot coming. And I certainly, you know, like I hope that with this, I can only just encourage competition in baristas. I feel like for us in LA, at least Los Angeles, there is a lot of work to do in the coffee industry. We're still kind of behind in regards of like the barista profession. And my biggest goal, I mean, there's one thing, like I cannot really teach passion to others, but I think I can inspire them a little bit to understand that coffee can be a career, you know, that you can get good at it and then you can grow in it, you know. So that's what I want to do, you know, just somehow motivate others, you know, encourage competition. I do want to do a lot of that work within, you know, like the women community. Men have a lot of support in this industry because there's a lot of men, right? There's a lot of men in the industry, and I feel like you know, as women, we just maybe need to get together and help each other, you know, coaching, motivating, teaching, all these things are very important. So that's, you know, so I have many different projects. So I just, I am in my last 2 weeks at Café de Leche, actually. I quit before I left for AeroPress, just because I had another opportunity coming. So I'm going to be managing a new shop for Stumptown. So that's one thing that's coming that I think is big, because it's also opening, you know, for me, you know, it's going to be opening a coffee shop from scratch. Like it's a new coffee shop in downtown LA. So that's one thing. And then, you know, there is a lot of what's coming, you know, with like some brands that I might be representing. And then there is also my personal projects, which I hope to make real this coming year. And it's just kind of like, have a space, you know, I cannot say built, but maybe find a space where I can gather women baristas, women in coffee together, and just like whoever wants to enter competitions, try to, you know, be there for these people, provide a space where they can come and practice, provide a space where they can come and learn. You know, there are many things. I want to enter the Brewers Cup next year. So there is a lot. I mean, ultimately, I feel like, you know, I go with the flow. Things will happen when they need to happen. There is nothing I need to rush. Ideas might come and go, you know, so I'll see what happens. But, you know, most importantly thing is just represent the women in coffee as good as I can.
Do you think that you're sort of in a unique position in the coffee industry because you come from a coffee producing country? Because you mentioned that during your win in the US win, that like, this is for like your people, and like your people are, you know, multifaceted, like you mentioned women, but like, I wonder like how you feel not just winning the barista or the AeroPress championship, but like just being in coffee and like knowing like, oh, I know where this comes from, like more so than most people.
I mean, I don't know if more so than other people, because I know people that are extremely passionate that come from places that obviously don't grow coffee and they know way more than I do. But I think there is a level of connection that I have, that I feel now, that it probably makes it a little bit more special. I'm not saying that, you know, that's what's going to take me so far, because obviously everything comes with a lot of hard work and discipline and, you know, yeah, just like commitment to what I'm doing. But maybe, you know, being so close and, you know, having my family involved in coffee and my friends and, you know, back in Colombia, it makes me see it a little bit different, which is actually what I want to share with new baristas or with baristas that are just starting this journey. You know, just like I know people who work in coffee who doesn't know how green coffee looks. So I, you know, like there's something that I hope I can help with, you know?
This is a big question, and I feel like I might even have to be like, this is for another time. But what do you, like, how is seeing, like, the way that coffee is being treated, like, in coffee-producing countries, I mean, specifically Colombia, like, with the price going down so low, mm-hmm. like, how does that affect you, and how do you see... This is like a big question. Now I'm just like rambling. but like, what do you think of that? Because that's something that like you are like intricately connected to.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been something that has affected us in many, many ways. I feel like, you know, back then when I was a little kid, I used to see a lot of coffee more than it is now. Right. Like I go back, lots of farms have, you know, just like, tear down all their plant, you know, their coffee plants, and now there is just like a bunch of resorts and like, you know, country houses and hotels that are for rent for like tourists. So you can see that it is slowly sort of dying, even though we are in such a high position with coffee, right? Like there is a lot of good things coming out of our country, but you can still see that the economy is so bad and the prices of coffee are so low that many people are given, you know, they're giving up in with coffee, many families. So it is a hard question, but I feel like when you work as a bridge, or, you know, as a connection in between, you know, like what people do here or behind the bars with coffee, but you try to connect them with where coffee comes from and the struggle and the hard work that happens behind, you know, before the coffee is actually, you know, roasted in the hopper, I feel like that's gonna help a little, you know. So it's at least it's gonna help the barista to transmit that to the public and that, you know, the guest and the customer that comes to buy a coffee. There has to be like deep links, you know, and those deep links come when like the information is shared and they know the stories behind, you know. And like I feel like more than delivering a cute looking Rosetta coffee, you know, like a cup of coffee that looks nice, there has to be a story behind, and the stories have to be told, and it that's what's gonna make, at least for my country, the coffee industry better, you know. So yeah, I mean, there's a story to tell, and that's what sells, you know, that there is a story behind the cup of coffee, behind, you know, there are many things to tell. So it's important to have that. And it's important to work as a bridge and open up the doors of the, you know, for information. So baristas know this. That's why coffee competitions are very important, at least to me right now.
What else do you want people to know about you?
I don't know. I mean, it's funny. I think I've opened up myself a lot, especially like in social networks, and I mean in Instagram, I feel like I'm trying to be a transparent person. I want people to see through me and see that it's not only, you know, just like me blah 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 and like talking about love and passion and all of that. I want people to see me as a person, like a true coffee ambassador, you know? So I hope that that's the message that I'm transmitting. And I hope that, yeah, I don't know, that I can transmit that passion. And even if it's not for coffee, you know, just passion in what you do and love for what you do and, you know, work hard with your heart. So, yeah, I don't know. That's me.
Well, I mean, you're amazing. Like, that's okay. There you go. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
I think just like listening to you in this conversation, I think your passion is so clear, and it's, for me as someone who like is very easily like oh, everything's garbage and everything's the worst. Like talking to you is like, oh, like there's so much possibility. And I think that like you're 100% like conveying exactly the message I think that you want to convey. So
thank you.
I'm incredibly proud that you get to, that you're going to be our champion. Like you get to represent us for the next year. And I can't, like, I can't think of a better person to do that. And I'm incredibly proud to call you the World AeroPress champion. Thank and I'm you. Glad that you represent us in the United States, even though, you know, like you mentioned, politically, we're kind of on fire. So.
Yeah, but, you know, that's also good that that's happening. You know, the fact that so many people are, like, not comfortable with whatever is going on with the politics, you know, it's a good moment to, you know, to open up, you know, to conversations and, like, you know, for me to be an immigrant and, like, you know, to be representing the country, it's a huge thing, you know, and it doesn't mean, like, oh, take that, an immigrant. It's like, no, it's more about thank you, United States, for allowing me that, you know, because however I found these and I found this love for what I do, I found it here, you know. And so when, like, you know, the US talks about freedom and, you know, like the American dream, that is sort of real to me, you know. There is that, and I got it when I moved here, and I learned about coffee when I moved here. So I owe that to the U.S., you know? So, you know, maybe this is my way to give back.
Well, I'm so excited to see what this whole year has in store for you. Maybe we'll even talk to you again in a couple months and see what's going on. Good luck at your new job.
Thank you.
And if people want to get in touch with you, or if they want to maybe follow you on Instagram, where can they find you?
Yeah, that's pretty much the only place where I am. I don't have a Facebook or anything like that, but I do have my Instagram where I'm pretty active these days. So, you know, people can just find me at, I don't know, how do you say it? Like, how do you say the underscore? Yeah, underscore.
Oh, the at sign.
Yeah, and then.
You could just say at, yeah.
Yeah, at, and then the little, oh my God. Yeah, don't you say underscore? Like the one that.
Oh, is it an underscore? I don't know. Now I'm looking at your Instagram to figure out what it is.
People can just type Carolina Ibarra Garay. They will find me in there, or, you know, it's underscore cafetera underscore. I think that's underscore.
Thank you again for talking to me, and I'm so excited to share this interview with other people.
Thank you. No, I'm very, very excited. I was a little nervous about what was I going to say. I apologize if I say things wrongly or my accent is weird, but sometimes it happens, you know, like I get excited and I talk very fast, and I'm just happy that you call me and that this is happening right now. And yeah, again, like, I hope the message is out there, and I'm here, you know, for everybody who needs me, who wants me to help them out. If they want to join the AeroPress competition, I, you know, I'm here.
That's amazing. Well, on behalf of Boss Barista, I'm Ashley Rodriguez. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Boss Barista was created by me, Ashley Rodriguez, and made in collaboration with Good Beer Hunting, which is an industry-leading brand studio, editorial platform, and podcast devoted to the many issues worth discussing around the things that we eat and drink. You can learn more at goodbeerhunting.com. Please check out their website. There are so many incredible articles that I find myself looking at constantly over and over, looking for advice about how we can be better in the coffee industry. They're doing a great job, and they're helping us make this podcast for you folks. So goodbeerhunting.com. Go ahead, check them out.